You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lunine, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Margie Olson. Now, she is a dynamic executive coach and leadership executive armed with a doctorate in OD, organizational development, with a strategic plan or blend of expertise, innovation. Margie empowers leaders and their teams to forge robust foundation for collaboration and productive. And we are talking about sheer productivity and how to get your team on board and how to lead also by example. So I'm really excited to have her here because at the heart of her legacy lies the Top Team Accelerator, a transformative force driving senior leaders and their teams to master change and drive enduring advancement in diverse industries, from aeronautics to fintech, you name it. Also, she has a big portfolio. So I'm really thrilled to have her on board. So with no further ado, Margie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
It is my honor to have you on board. Tell us about your background. So doctorate in organization psychology, so leadership aspect play into that. Tell us about what brought you to that field.
So I had been working since I was 14 years old, and decade after decade, I just watched leaders and teams struggle. And I thought, I really want to understand what is happening here. I never would open up the toaster or lift the hood on the car, but I sort of wanted to understand how organizations work and what can we do to help that. So I went back to school after many decades and was enrolled in a doctoral program in organization development, where we spent 4 years in coursework. And in that coursework, so even before we got to our dissertation, I could see that we knew everything we needed to know about how to be an effective leader and how to lead a high performing team, which then you can collectively with your teams and leaders lead a high performing organization. So then if we have known all that we know, and at this time it was 30 years, now we're at 40 years. If we've known what we know about the art and science of high performing teams and being an effective leader, what is happening? So my dissertation, the subtitle was, what the heck? Why do we have such a struggle? And it all comes down to the execution. So then I then became a consultant and was working with clients and have developed an approach that focuses on where they're really lacking. So you can hire someone to do the strategic planning. You can have someone that's focusing on your financials, generating leads, customers, user experience. What leaders are missing is a focus on behaviors. And that's an awkward thing to talk about at work if that's not what you're accustomed to. And virtually all leaders have the experience of the leaders before them to tell them how to do this. Virtually all teams have only the teams they've been on before to tell them how to be a team player on a team. You can go to a training, you can read a book, you can listen to a podcast, but if you're not with a leader or on a team and you're not really putting the building blocks in place sequentially so that you're actually getting at the behaviors and the structure and the habits to be effective, then it sort of all goes away when you get back to work and you go back to fighting fires. So I really wanted to focus just on this while other leaders are focusing on other things. I can help put those building blocks in place to build the organization from the ground up, even if you've already been one for 100 years, or if you're brand new, or if you're ready for a turnaround.
Yeah. And a lot of times in theory, it sounds great, but once you start getting in the weeds of it and actually doing the work, the groundwork, there's a lot of people that falls away, that falls apart before you even get started. So let's talk about that in terms of a barrier to entry. Right? Because you can get buy-in from senior leadership, but then trying to get the team in alignment sometimes can be challenging.
Yeah. So we have a one-year program and you can't buy that or get into that program. We start with a three-month coaching relationship. And so in that partnership, the first thing we do is understand the structure of your team. So let's say your leadership team has 18 members. That's not a leadership team. That's a whole bunch of people who are used to being on the team. They've got a little FOMO, or there's some politics. We can't leave this person out. This person's always been on this team. What you find then is there's probably two or three or four people in the background that are really being the leader. leadership team, and it's not transparent. So the first thing we do is look at the structure, and then we fix your meetings. And everybody's meetings can be better. And the meetings problem in the US, $85 billion problem, Forbes says, this meetings problem is an indicator of some of the other problems you have. So if you're fighting fires, or leaders are coming to you gossiping and complaining, they're not solving their problems, or you're solving the same problems over and over, those same reasons are turning out for why you're having struggling with your meeting. So we get all of that fixed, and we do an analysis to see if you fit. And that means you as a leader are able to lead this, and your team is able to come along. And so the program is about sharing the knowledge and then using the real work to start to make some decisions about some changes in structure and habits. And then it's about observations, and it's about coaching and practice. And then once you fix your meetings and you've set your leadership team up with the right structure, and you start to do the very first pillar in the program, which is teamwork, and you actually come to know each other and can speak for each other's team and understand how each other is related to the goals and priorities of the leader, at that point, you can start really being more open and honest and start to take on some of the bigger challenges. So you'll start to solve some problems once and for all. You'll separate out your tactical meetings from your strategic. You'll invest in your time and energy in your team to go off and focus on those challenges. So people say, we have a huge workforce challenge, or supply chain is broken, global supply chain is broken, or it's all about the market. And the truth is, these teams, these leadership teams, these organizational top teams, they can never just focus on those issues because they're always fighting fires or always doing same old, same old. And so what happens is they think, well, those problems are too big. And the reality of it is, you have creativity on your team and teams. You have intellect. You have knowledge and education. Some people are not getting airtime, or they're not bringing to you the solutions, or you haven't been able to do it collectively because you're too busy in your ruts. And so one of the things we bring to this program is how the brain operates. And this I learned along the way, and then with a lot of practice in organizations, we learn and we memorize and we develop habits, and that's where all of our execution is. So when I get up in the morning, if I had to learn all of those habits for my morning routine, if I had to relearn them every day, I'd never make it out of bed. 99.9% of everything I do every day is automatic. It's familiar. My brain has well-worn pathways. It knows what to do. It's keeping me safe in case there's risk, in case there's opportunity. So all of those things we're doing at work, all of those meetings, all of those conversations, all of those issues with the people, and we're not talking about them out loud, and we're not calling out people's behaviors, those are habits. So once we learn, we need to focus on how we learn, how we remember, and how we develop habits and shift those behaviors. It seems like it shouldn't be that hard, or it sounds easy, so why can't we all do it? Habits will eat your strategy for breakfast. We are here to change your habits.
Absolutely, because habits are hard to break. And you have to be able to replace them. So you come in, you identify the ineffective habits, and then you replace them. And that's why you have a one-year program, because then that time, over time, you're reframing the structure. And many times
there's somebody, one or two people on the team who are natural at this, and they've been waiting. They've been secretly waiting. The other thing you have a huge expense is all the talent that's going out the door, because they can see problems, but they don't feel like they're in a position to solve them. So they're out of here. And so once you can start to develop those new habits and put the structures and processes in place to start feeling like you have wins, the wins come very quickly. You can get turnaround on some things right away, and that boosts your motivation to focus more on habits. Habits can be challenging to change, but when you put the processes in place, they are, I love James Clear, atomic habits. We don't rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our habits. So the leader and the organization has all these fantastic goals, and then the way the organization runs is on autopilot. So what tiny little steps and then building blocks on top of each other. And pretty soon, within a few months, you have a drastically different way of working. And then it starts to gain momentum, and you can start to address the bigger challenges.
Yeah, it starts working for you. Those habits start picking up for you, so you don't have to think about every step of the way. Right. And then I'm sure you find people that are like, that's the way it's always been. Those are the triggers. Those are the people you want to pinpoint and select and work with, right? Especially in one-on-one coaching processes, because now they're thinking, this is the way it's always been done, so we always do it that way. In hindsight, that's what it looks like. But yeah, change can be made slowly to reframe.
And there's a lot of misinformation out there. So when you have organizations with people who have not necessarily been in power up to now, certain populations, certain people in the organization, you may be missing hearing from them. And in their minds and in their words are some of these solutions. This way we've done it always, we wouldn't have had to do it this way all this time. If we had been listening to the collective and had a diverse population that was bringing in information, and if you have a meeting and one or two people do all the talking, that meeting should never repeat. You should never have that meeting a second time. If it's 100th time, why are you still doing that? What is it that's getting in the way? There are people there who can do that differently if they are empowered. And so we want to make the most of it. I worked with a client once who had one of their leaders was on a performance improvement plan, and they were just marking their time, developing documentation, and that person was gone. And when we worked together for about 3 or 4 weeks, all of a sudden that person was rising and they could see. We put systems in place, we fixed the meetings, and we implemented some tools for each person to know the same information at the same time. And as soon as they all had that, now all of a sudden this person's looking really good and they no longer were on a performance improvement plan. It was the leaders and these leadership teams are missing a lot of really good information because they're operating under assumptions and old information.
Yeah. You mentioned about the team building. So the five stages of forming a team, you know, there's forming, storming, performing, and adjoining. Yep. I'm missing one in there. In that process, and I assume you teach that, you have to go in there with that framework and build the teams. Have you had to let someone go out of the team and talk to management and says, this is not going to work with this individual, and had to actually restructure the talent?
So first of all, my program, another thing that's different about our program is we are not doing it for you or to you. So the entire program, the 3 months for the executive coaching, and then if we continue the work 9 months, it's all positioning the leader to actually learn how to lead. And, you know, leaders can have all different kinds of styles. So they may be more introverted or more extroverted, more charismatic, more behind the scenes. They might be professionals in their field. They might be leaders in their field rather than professionals. And so we don't need them to be a certain way. We meet them where they are, bring all the tools. And like you said, the models, the theories, the assessments, and I and the team teach them how to lead their team, and then we bring their team along. So once we get several months in and there's a market change or there's an opportunity, they don't, or I'm gone now, it's been a year, they don't need to bring me back. They have built their own abilities. So they have learned about forming and storming. They have learned about Working Genius, this amazing tool that Patrick Lencioni has developed that is really, really probably the most helpful assessment I have found to come down the pike in decades. We work on the team and they learn to start talking to each other openly about behaviors and desires and what their own teams are working on. So these models and theories, they happen during the transfer knowledge phases, but then we immediately move into offsites where the leader then takes all that information in bite-sized chunks and teaches it to their team and starts to develop their work. So we never work from a case study. We don't work in theory. We don't go into a classroom for a couple of hours. We are literally doing the work that they're doing and using it to compare to this model of how teams develop, to compare to the five dysfunctions, to compare to Working Genius. It's their actual work. And so they begin to use language, not that I gave them and said, you really need to start using these words. It starts to develop really naturally and organically because the leader is making it his or her own.
That is unique. Yeah, that is unique and a rare approach. So then tell us about the Genius Productivity Tool.
Oh, working genius. Productivity and teamwork tool. And you know what I love about it? Because I've gone through it myself and I've facilitated it with others and I've worked on it and with it and I'm certified. They use the word joy. You're learning about the work that you do and the way you show up for your team with energy and joy. And when you can have a word joy and not have it be, they're going down that path. No, this is strategic. Think of it as strategic joy. Yeah. So there are six working geniuses and they make up the acronym WIDGET. And the first one is wonder. And I have that genius. So everyone has a couple of geniuses. You do an assessment. We facilitate the assessment to find out, does it resonate? Where do you really fit? And the product life cycle of anything new, or let's say you're relocating your office, or you are going to start a brand new service, or you have completely added a location on the other side of the globe. Anything that has a beginning, middle, and an end, there's an ideas cycle. So the first one is wonder. I wonder if we can move, or I wonder why this isn't this way, or I wonder why this is so unhelpful or ineffective. So I have that. I have a lot of questions. I don't have answers necessarily because I'm not the I, which is the inventors. Inventors are just inventing all day in their minds. They just want to create new things. I am not a blank canvas person. These are blank canvas people. So then they're creating to answer the question of the wonder. And then D is discernment. So I have that. I have wonder and discernment. And discernment without knowing how we know, we can sort of weigh in on whether or not that invention, that idea, that service, that way of approach, that timeline that we're thinking of may or may not be effective. And most of the time, 85% of the time or some piece of data, we're right and we don't know. Our information is intuitive and it is connecting dots and trends. We have this continuous ability to do trends where other people don't have that. And they're not sure why I think I know that. The G is galvanizing. Who are the people in the organization that pull people around? Now, I have a public speaking expertise and I have the ability to facilitate and bring people together. But that doesn't give me energy or strategic joy all day long. I could just do speeches all day long and bring people together and try to organize them. But that doesn't, so I'm good at it. It's a competence, but some people who live in where they're competent, but it's not a joy or gives them energy. It's not their genius. That's where burnout can live. So We have people in your organization who are galvanizers. And then the E are the enablers, the people who know in the organization how things get done. And then T is tenacity. Those people are driving to completion. So what happens with WIDGET in this sequence is let's say you have a challenge at work right now and you all have been talking about it for a few weeks. And so then you come to another meeting and someone asks the question, the wonder person asks the question. And if you're following the model, you would say, love you. Thank you for that. That's not where we're at anymore. We've already done that. We are now in the galvanizing and enabling phase. We are pulling the people together. We cannot revisit the invention. We cannot do any more discernment. Or they're all the way down the line launching a product. And they never really had people who are discerning types really thinking about how they're going to roll it out. And so what happens is if you find that you're always having missing budgets or always running over on time, schedules, projects, or whatever, it may simply be because you're not following the sequence and you're always looping back. So let's say your leader or one of the strong personalities powerful person on the team is an inventor and a tenacity person. Well, they're just always inventing, and they keep wanting to do that. And it's a discipline and it's a logic and it's rational. And so you implement this and start to find out, first of all, it provides a structure, which is great. But what's so great is if I'm a wonderer and a discerner and I'm spending most of my day doing that, I all of a sudden can't wait to get to work. And I apply this to my family when we're planning a family reunion or a vacation or we're going to do a holiday. There's a sequence. And also, let's not revisit it if we've already made some plans. So it sounds like it can be so simple and people get emotional. So when they do their assessment, even some of the most longstanding professionals, they get a little emotional. They laugh, they cry. They're so relieved to understand what motivates them and how, and now the pieces to let's pull that together at work.
Mm-hmm. And it would behoove everyone, one, to take the assessment.
Everyone.
But two,
it's really fun.
Yeah. To ensure you have all, was it six, five,
yes.
six each personality?
Every time. Every time. So if you don't have tenacity people and or enabling people, you're never finishing. And it sounds like, oh, Margie, people always finish. No, actually they don't. This is a multi-billion dollar problem, but we're not talking about it in these simplistic terms. But sometimes things never finish. And this may be why. I will say for anyone who does this assessment, it's wonderful. When you get your results, you want to have it facilitated because they may not come out the way you actually are. And so it helps to have a conversation about that. An assessment is an imperfect tool. And so I actually did test differently. One of my competences turned out to be to say one of my geniuses, but the truth is I'm a wonderer and discerner. And when that was facilitated with me, it was like I, for the first time in many decades of being alive, felt seen and comfortable. Because up to this point, I was always trying to ask fewer questions or give fewer opinions. Oh, Margie, rein it in, tone it down. Corporate America didn't like all those questions. They didn't like all those opinions. Now I realize we do have to have discipline and find the place for them and the sequence, but I am good at that. We really want me doing that. We really don't want me inventing, and we don't want me being an enabler. That is not where I'm going to bring my best self.
Yeah, I like that. It's knowing thyself, right? Knowing where you're coming from, who you are, your personality, and also working out of your genius zone. I see the title fitting in very well here. Knowing what your talents are and how to focus on that, because it will bring you joy, and you don't want to get burnt out. And that's what happens. So let's talk about your morning routine and how you get up, dress up, and show up to do what you do essentially, because you're partially teaching that too.
Yes. And I don't set an alarm unless I have an early morning workout class. So I'm just a morning person. So I will wake up naturally. I let my sleep let me wake up naturally unless I have to be at a class at a certain time. I've already laid out my workout clothes the night before. So I had heard this recommendation, dress in your workout clothes first. And I'd heard that for years and I never did that. I don't know why. I have no idea why something so simple, and I was just ignoring it. And then we sheltered in place. And then I had workout clothes on already. And I noticed I was taking more walks and I was stopping at the gym when we could open up. I was starting to see the logic of that. So that's the first thing I do the night before is plan for what I'm going to wear for working out. Yeah. First thing I do when I wake up is drink a glass of water. So if you have access to fresh, safe, clean water and you're not drinking water throughout the day, you're missing probably the easiest, least expensive, most valuable ways of connecting with all of the parts of you through this amazing resource. And we've done a lot of detoxing throughout the night. Yeah. We come dehydrated. We've been doing some important work. And so we want to replenish. So I do that. And then I spend about 5 minutes imagining the life that I am in that has the things that I want and the way that I want to show up and the way that I want to help and the people that I want to be with. And then I will almost always do some type of a workout, and then I check email. So I keep my email inbox to under 100. I just have to do that. And and my messages are always read. And the reason for that is not because I'm hyper stressed about it or anxious but I find that it really helps me feel more grounded and more effective if I'm not missing emails. I wouldn't want to say to someone, your email got lost in my many emails. I don't even know. I prioritize and I segment so I know which ones to focus on. I do not necessarily answer every email, but I move them out or move them away or do what I need to do. So after I've got that initial morning routine, and even before I do a healthy breakfast, I will check email to see, did anything big happen since I laid my head on the pillow? And that's my morning routine. And what I find is it reminds me to drink water throughout the day, starting with water. Okay. And the visioning is, it relaxes me. I don't have to do 100 amazing things today because I already am a part of my future. My future is my present. And the other thing that I do that flows right out of that visioning is I identify just a few chunks of the things I want to make sure I do today that I focus on. Those are my priorities. They may be work, they may be personal, they may be a combination. And then other things, there's always other things. I have whiteboards around. I have to-do lists and they continue to get revised, but it's those big chunks. And the most important thing, so I have found the most important way that I can do what I want to do in the fastest time is when I'm slowly grounded and present. And I have a lot of energy. I'm an extrovert. I can have extra energy. And so it really helps me to be calm and to slow myself down and to really focus on those things that are the most important.
I love that. I love the visionary piece of it because you said I'm already part of my future. And so I'm going into my day super relaxed, knowing that I'm creating it as I go, but I don't have to stress about doing everything on my list. Just pick a few of them and prioritize. It's like eating your frog first early in the morning.
Yeah. And when you stress about it, that's different frequencies. That's different energy. So you're going to pull some of that back in. I'm looking for the calm, successful, happy, productive, joyful, genius energy. And that comes from being present and feeling, I don't have to feel happy. It's feeling calm and confident and productive.
Yeah. Well put. I love the working out aspect of it. You got to take care of the body. The key component stood out to me, and you explained it so beautifully, is the hydration, drinking water first thing in the morning, detoxing. It's a way to get rid of brain fog. The fastest way to get rid of brain fog in the morning is a glass of water. And I see that you're living that. You know those habits, and you know, you get up and you just do them. And it's really priming you for the day. It's really setting the tone for the
entire
day.
And I would recommend to people, if you're not starting out with a glass of water, and if you're not putting your workout clothes on, that you're actually going to go work out in, not because you live in them now. If you haven't developed those habits yet, I would start there. What's going on underneath that? Because water is the easiest habit to develop. So if you haven't done that, are you engaging in some self-sabotage? Are you not putting yourself first? Are you poo-pooing things that could be helpful? Or you're so worried about your health and your work and your finances that you think a glass of water is not going to help you? James Clear, Atomic Habits, it's the tiny little steps. And I guarantee that glass of water, and I started the water habit, led to a whole bunch of other habits, not in the same day and not even in the same month, but I'm here now. And that's what happens when we start somewhere.
Those are the keystone habits. You do them, and you can attest to that in your professional life too. You do the little thing. That keystone habit is a domino effect for better behaviors. You're eating better. You're going for that walk. You're stretching now because you had that glass of water versus just sitting down for 4 hours straight. It's little things like that. And I'm sure you see it incorporated in your leap in developing high performance teams as well. Those habits come in handy. I really appreciate you sharing that. So tell us, where can we find the Genius Productivity Tool? Where can we find you and connect with you?
Yeah, so you can come to olsonconsulting.com. So that's OLESON-consulting.com and find all the information about that and high-performing meetings and being a high-performing team. You can download a case study and see how Top Team Accelerator comes alive. And then I'm on LinkedIn, margie.olesson. Please follow me. I put articles out there and videos and a lot of information. You can just take it and use it.
That's phenomenal. Thank you so much for sharing. It's been such an honor having you on the show today.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.